Thank you, Sharon. Wow. Okay, our next speaker, I just had the pleasure of talking to on the phone. He's come a distance with Cindy. Thank you for coming up here from, or down here for you. And this is Jimmy from the Hartford area of Connecticut.
Manatic, my name is Jimmy. Hey, everybody. Good to be here. A lot of Connecticut folks here. My wife and I drove down yesterday. I've been sick for about 2 or 3 days, so I'm not as enthusiastic as I normally would be about H&I, but believe me, it's in my heart. But it took all the strength I could muster to get up out here, but I know it's well worth it because this is important in my life. And thank you for sharing that message with us. That's very important. Keep up the good work. I will too. I don't know if it's because I'm not feeling that well that I'm a little emotional, or I just sometimes I get emotional. It's all right. Either way. But some old friends out there, familiar faces, nice to be here. I wish the weather was better. I was supposed to play golf this morning, but normally I would play golf if I was sick, but not in 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
But I think that's how they tempted me to come down here. They said they had a golf tournament. They know I'm addicted to golf. But because of Narcotics Anonymous, I've been able to have a good life, and I've been able to retire from a job that I worked, a regular job, and got a pension. And I dedicated my life to NA and playing golf. So, and that's a good life for me. But so H&I, I got introduced to H&I through an H&I panel that came into the institution I was in, and I was 37 years old when I got clean, and that was the first time I got clean after using for 25 years, and I didn't know there was another way. I come from a family of addicts. I come from the projects of Hartford. And there's 7 kids in my family. 4 of us were active addicts. So it was just a way of life for me. And I just, you know, picked up where my brother left off or whatever. I just used. And then I got institutionalized, and H&I came in. And these guys came in on a panel, and they talked about NA, which I never heard of. And they were all healthy guys, you know. They had some weight on them. I didn't have any weight. I think I lost about 5 pounds being sick, though. I feel weak, but these guys were healthy, and they were happy, you know. And they were talking about Narcotics Anonymous being the solution to their problems, and I didn't believe a word they said, you know, because I was from that mentality that I didn't believe much of anything because I wasn't believable, so I didn't think anybody else was either. So, and I always thought there was an angle, that, you know, everybody had an angle and there was something going on. But anyways, I did go to an NA meeting after I got out, and I saw them passing the basket around, and I wanted to know where the money was going. That was my first thought. You know, who's getting this money? Why is it going to California? But, and then I got involved early in H&I. I had about 90 days clean. And I went to this halfway house in Hartford, and I went there for the wrong reason. It was when I got cleaned in our area or in our region, the H&I meetings were in the schedule, so you could go to a regular H&I meeting. Since then, we've changed all that. But so I went to an H&I meeting to not go to a regular meeting, because the only regular meeting on that night was a step meeting, and I didn't want nothing to do with the steps. So I figured I'd go hang out at this H&I meeting. And I did it for a couple of weeks, and eventually the guys that were on the panel asked me if I wanted to step on the panel. So I did it for the wrong reason, but something grabbed my attention. Something was happening. I didn't know what it was, and it took me a while to figure it out. But I think that's the way things are supposed to happen in Narcotics Anonymous. We're not supposed to really know what's happening in the beginning, because I think if we did, we wouldn't have to be here or something like that. I don't know. I remember an old timer when I first got clean talking about he suffered from compounded ignorance. And at the break, I asked him, "What the hell's compounded ignorance?" He said, "I didn't know I didn't know." Yeah. All the way home, I was gone. Yeah, that makes sense. Now it makes sense. You know, 25 years later. But I was fortunate to get clean in Connecticut at a time when NA was just evolving from a small community into a large. We were an area in 1984, and we became a region in 1985. And when we became a region, we divided up the states into areas. And once we divided the states up into areas, then we had our own subcommittees. And it was like the first time we had a Hartford area subcommittee that was responsible for prisons in the Hartford area. And my sponsor at the time was the first H&I chair in that area. So he'd put me in a car and say, "Come on, we're going to a prison." And that's what we did. And he just passed away last year. He was clean for 27 years. He was 79 years old. He got clean late in life. 53, he got clean. And he did H&I for all his time. He did H&I. And that's what I learned, you know, that if you're a member of H&I, then you do it till you die. But and then what I learned later on was that, and you reap the benefits of doing H&I, and the benefits that you reap are happy, joyous, and free. And it talks about that in the 12th step, where the 12th step exemplifies service, selfless service to others, and genuine concern for others. And that's what H&I is about. You know? So anyways, I got started off, and I got kind of pushed along the way. Didn't know what I was doing. Actually, I got involved with the 12 steps by default. You know, one of the old timers came up to me and said, he was a good friend of mine, and I respected him, and he said, he shook his head and said, "You know, some people can come to Narcotics Anonymous and just stay clean." He said, "You're not one of them." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "You need a lot of help." He said, "You need to change." And he said, "The only way I know how addicts change is through the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous." And so I got involved with the 12 steps in my early recovery, and I was fortunate to have a bunch of guys in my network that helped me through the 12 steps. And it was the 12 steps that made it more important to do H&I work. You know, once I got through the 12 steps, I got an understanding of what this is all about. You know, it's about helping another addict get what you got. And so that's what I wanted to do. And then I've been doing it ever since, and I've served on every level of H&I that I possibly, that they would let me, you know, and I won't let anybody kick me off of H&I either, so. But, so I was the second area H&I chair, because my sponsor, we had a H&I subcommittee meeting, and in the early days, there wasn't a lot of interest in H&I, because prior to that, the groups in our area used to sponsor H&I meetings. So the home group that I have used to sponsor a prison, and other home groups did that. And then we formed an area, and we used to have the H&I cans. I don't know if any of you guys remember the cans, but we used to have, you know, they passed the basket around, and my sponsor used to say, it's kind of like church, they have a second collection. But they would pass the basket around, and then they would pass the H&I can around, and we would take that money and buy literature to bring into the facilities before we had a subcommittee that had a budget. And it was you know, the serious H&I guys watched out for the can. And if the can was a little light, they'd pass it around for a third collection. So that's how I was brought up, with a bunch of, you know, old renegade addicts that took H&I serious, and they instilled that in my recovery, that, you know, that's where it's at. You know, not that any other service isn't important, and I know they all are important, and I've served at, you know, every different committee that there is. But H&I is dear to my heart. You know, what has happened over those years is that I've met a lot of men that are in my life today. You know, I've been doing H&I for over 25 years. And I have guys in my life today that I met 25 years ago in prison. And they're out, and they're productive members of society today. And I had a little bit to do with that. You know, I was carrying a message, and they picked up on the message, and then they followed through. And then they looked me up. You know, and they do that today. You know, I had a guy that I was, I think I did his 8-year bid with him. Because I have one H&I commitment that I've been on for about 10 years straight, only because it's a maximum security prison and we can't get people cleared very easily, and we don't have any addiction service counselors in there, and they bring us in with the COs put us in a room, and then they bring the guys down and we have a meeting, and then they unlock the door later and let us go home, which is always a nice feeling. But one of these nights I'm waiting for them to forget to come and get us, but we would have a ball because the guys just love us there anyways, and we would just, you know, shoot the shit all night. But anyways, there was a guy who was in there, and he was doing an 8-year bid, and then he got out and went to another facility, and every facility he went to, he had somebody contact me from H&I and said, could you bring Jimmy C down to share? And I would go down to any end of the state. He was in 3 or 4 different facilities. And then when he got out, he went into a halfway house, and he found somebody in a halfway house that knew me, and he got to call me. And he's been doing what we told him to do, you know, and he's been calling on a regular basis. He's been networking, and he's doing what we shared at the H&I meeting, you know. Sometimes he's a pain in the ass, but it seems like he hasn't talked to anybody in like 50 years because he talks to me for like an hour, But anyways, it's a good thing. And then there was another guy who got out a couple of weeks ago. And we don't, in our area, in our region, we don't, and it's in the guide to H&I that we don't give out our phone numbers. But I tell the guys, when you get released, you know, you could ask the addiction service counselor, or you could probably get my number if you go on the hotline. And, you know, maybe somebody, and I jokingly say that, you know, call the NA hotline. Maybe somebody will know me and they'll hook you up with me. And a guy did that, and the person that was working the hotline was from where my wife and I live. So she said, oh yeah, I know Jimmy C. I'll get his number for you. And it worked out well. But we tell the guys, you know, just like they told me when I got out, the first thing to do is go to an NA meeting, you know. As soon as you get out, before you do anything else, go to an NA meeting. And a lot of guys are hearing that, and a lot of guys are doing that. And we got guys that are on that are on our panels now that were in the facilities that we go into. I have 2 H&I commitments. One is that maximum security prison. I go every Thursday night. I went Thursday night, even though I was sick. But hopefully I didn't get all the guys sick in there. Probably the week before they got me sick, so don't. But then I got this real neat commitment. Once a month I go on a Tuesday once a month, and it's at a minimum security prison, maybe a medium security prison. But the addiction service counselors all know NA, and a couple of them are in the fellowship, and so they kind of give us a little leeway, and they let us bring in as many guys as we want. And I've been doing this commitment for about 4 years. I'm the panel coordinator, but I bring in most of my sponsees. And I bring them in to share, you know, but then they want to stay. I can't get them off the panel, you know, because they just love what we do. So Tuesday night I went to that commitment with 8 guys. We stop at a restaurant. We have dinner at a restaurant. I found this Italian restaurant on the way, and all the guys think I'm in the mob and stuff. So I tell them mob stories. I'm not. They sometimes call me the Godfather of NA, but I'm not. But it gets them excited, you know. And so we go to this Italian restaurant that is a mob joint. And the owner always greets me, you know. So they don't know. Hopefully they won't listen to this. But anyways, we get there and we have dinner. And we talk for about an hour, you know. We talk about Narcotics Anonymous. We talk about recovery. We talk about what we're about to do. And then we get up to the prison, and there's like 140 guys that come to this meeting. And we have a receiving line like it's like somebody just got married. You know, we all line up at the door. And every guy that comes to that meeting hugs us. you know. And that's pretty amazing. You know, guys that don't even hug. Guys that don't even like to hug, they hug us anyways. You know, and that breaks the ice. You know, now they know it's okay. You know, and that's huge for them because that's all they need is that little bit of hope. You know, that they're not different. They could recover. You know, and that's huge. What else do I do? So I was the second area chair in Hartford area, and I've always been involved in the service part of this. I've been on the regional level in Connecticut. We have a volunteer liaison, a person that clears people to get into facilities because it's difficult in Connecticut to get into facilities. Every facility is a little bit different, and we kind of work the system a little bit. If we got friends at a certain facility, we'll get somebody cleared for that facility and then shift them over to another one. Yeah. Kind of like dope fiending, but it's all right. For a good cause, right? That's what I say. Yeah. It's all right. But one of my sponsees, who I got into this prison, he did 16 years in the facility, and four of those years I was with him at the facility. He used to chair the meeting inside. He was the inside chair, and I was the outside chair. And then when he got out, I told him, and he did what we told him to do. You know, he got out and he got connected with the fellowship, and he's been clean for 16 years now. But I finally got him to come back in. It was huge. And he's from Pigs in Space. We were talking about Pigs in Space. You guys heard of the world famous Pigs in Space? They have a pig roast every year in May. This is like their 27th pig roast. It's a huge event, and it's a crazy men's meeting. Well, not really a men's meeting, but it's a men's topic meeting. But so when he got out, he was like gung-ho. We took him over to Pigs in Space. He like fell in love with this. You know, he was a biker dude, tattoos. He got the pig tattooed on him. He got NA tattooed all over. Ball head, you know, I mean, real crazy guy. But he's helped, you know, so many guys doing that. So I tried to get him into his facility, and they just downright, they said, this guy was an escapee. He assaulted the CEOs. This guy was a Aryan Nation guy and all. I said, no, you got the wrong guy. It's not. He's all right. Don't worry about it. And then my good friend was a supervisor over there, and after they turned him down, I said, Mike, can you just get him in for one shot? And he said, yeah, bring him in. He said, I trust you, you know. So he brought him in, and like the guys went wild because, you know, he was one of them, you know, and he was talking junk too, so. And he was telling about Pigs in Space. And a couple of weeks later, they started their own meeting inside, you know. And that's been going on for 4 years now. And they call their group the Sweat Hogs. They use the same pig, but they call it the Sweat Hogs. And they're registered with the, you know, World Registry. They have their own meeting, and they just don't have, you know, a GSR that can go in and out. We haven't been able to work that one out yet. But they do it through correspondence. And they have an anniversary every year, and when they have their anniversary, they let us bring in like 20 guys. They have like a party. They don't have coffee and cake or nothing, but it's a celebration, you know. And they buy their own literature from World. They order from World. They use their commissary money to buy literature, and they give away books. They gave away, I forget how many books they've given, or like 700 books in the past 4 years. And so NA is working inside the facilities also, you know. But, you know, that's not surprising because that's how NA really got started back in California, was inside the facilities. You know, I think Jimmy Kay used to sneak into these prison facilities with AA and drop off NA pamphlets with the number on. That's how he infiltrated the prisons. He would slip a little number underneath there, and then they would call him and he would send them literature. But anyways, you know, that's what we do in Connecticut. In my area, in Hartford area, we service 20 meetings. In the state of Connecticut, we service 100 meetings. There's 100 H&I meetings detoxes, treatment centers, hospitals. And we got a lot of jails in Connecticut. I don't know that we got a lot of criminals. We just have a lot of jails. But so when I first got clean, we took the responsibilities of these facilities, and there was like we have some we're in the Hartford area, which is in this, almost a little bit north of the center of the state, but we go all the way up to the Massachusetts border, and some of our prisons are up in the country up there, away from society, you know. So a lot of guys from Massachusetts were servicing those facilities, and so when we took over, we had to kind of, you know, explain to them this is our responsibility, and some of them didn't go easily. And actually, one was the good friend who became an addiction service counselor in the prison that helped us get in. You know, 25 years ago, he was sitting on an H&I panel up there, and he didn't want to leave. So I said, Mike, you're in Massachusetts. Connecticut has this responsibility. He said, I'm not leaving until they give me a job. And they gave him a job. And actually, he just retired. He worked for 25 years and retired. He got a good pension. And, you know, miracles happen in N.A. because he was a sure enough criminal. But so H&I in Connecticut, we do very well. We have our regional H&I meeting. There's 9 areas in our state, and most every month when we meet, all areas are represented. You know, we have our area H&I meeting, and we probably have 20 people that attend that meeting. You know, and we do qualifications and orientations, and we try to keep all our commitments full. And you know, we use the panel system in Connecticut, or most of the state, we use the panel system. We found that that's a better way of introducing members to NA. H&I is through a panel system where you can come and just see how it works first before you're thrown to the wolves, like they did to me when I first got clean. But so we normally have maybe 4 people on a panel. One person acts as the panel leader. And then panel members come in, and then we kind of rotate and let everybody have a shot at having that experience of leading the panel. And then we have a coordinator. In Connecticut, most of our meetings have a panel coordinator. I know that's some areas a coordinator can do a couple of meetings, but in Connecticut, we have one for each meeting. So there's a couple areas in our state that still use the chairperson and speaker technique. And we found that the panel system works better because, you know, we can't go in by ourselves. And if you just have a chairperson and a speaker and the speaker can't show, then they can't get a meeting. And that's, you know, we don't want that to happen. So panel system works well. We got 4 people. If the speaker doesn't show, somebody else will speak. We have our regional workshops, our learning days. We try not to call them learning days anymore and workshops because nobody shows up for them. We try to dope fiend them. We'll say it's a picnic or have hot dogs and hamburgers, and they all come, and then we hit them with the H&I, and they go, oh, shit. I remember in the old days, there was a... There used to be, but actually, Connecticut celebrated 25 years. Our region celebrated 25 years last year, and it was 25 years ago that I went to my first H&I workshop at a convention, and it was in 1986, and it was Connecticut's first convention, and I went to the workshop like this one, and I was inspired to go to a prison. Prior to that, I was doing a halfway house, but I really wanted to go to prison because the guys that shared talked about how good it felt to be able to give back and to pay an amends to society, you know, because I know that if I had gotten what I deserved, I'd have been in prison for all my life, and I didn't. You know, so the least I could do is go once a week. You know, so I was inspired, and at the time, like I said, home groups took care of prisons. So I went to my home group, and I said, I want to get on that prison commitment. So the guy that was there, he said, oh, come on, I'll take you. So he got me cleared, and I got in the next week, and I shared, and I came the following. He said, "You want to come back?" I said, "Yeah, I'll come back." So I came the following week, and then the third week, I went, and he didn't show up, and he disappeared, and I never saw him again. So I said, "Oh, I guess it's my commitment then, right?" So that's sometimes that's how people, you know, addicts work. You know, they want to get rid of a commitment where, you know, I guess they thought it was a curse. I thought it was a blessing. So kind of like what you were sharing about. And, you know, like I've been doing it ever since, and great things have happened in my life. You know, I have a wonderful life today, and I've met wonderful people, you know, through service, and I've learned how to be responsible. Carlos, I met 20 years ago. Yeah. I didn't want to talk about that because I want to cry, but I will. Yeah. I got people like that in my life today. Wow. You know, 20 years later, he's still coming. So ain't I. That's how it works. Do I have 5 minutes? Show me the card. Show me the card. He's all done. 5 minutes. Probably all done when I got here. So, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyways, you know, people like Carlos in my life today, just the life that I've gotten by doing what I do is just, you know, is enriched other parts of my life, you know, just by being responsible and dependable and learning how to lead by example instead of telling people what to do. And like the 12 steps taught me, it's about how I'm living today. You know, it's what I'm doing today. It's not about what I can recite out of the basic text or out of our literature. It's the life that I live and the people that are in my life today that really matters most. And my life is full of people that respect me and think I'm important in their life. And I am, because they're important in my life, too. You know, the guys in prison love me. I'm like a friggin' celebrity when I go in there. Down, Jimmy C's here. You can hear him down the hallway. And then they all start running to the meeting. You know, but it's important to them. It is. And they tell us, you know, we wait all week. You know, all week just to see you guys come back again. And I was there Tuesday night, and one guy said, "I got like 20 days left." He said, "All I know is when I get out, I'm going to grab onto Jimmy C's leg, and I ain't letting go." And I said, "That's what you need to do. Grab onto my leg and follow me around. Because what I do is Narcotics Anonymous. It's the only place I had to go for my recovery is Narcotics Anonymous. And I have never stopped coming to Narcotics Anonymous. I haven't taken a break. My disease never took a break. My recovery don't take no breaks. My H&I don't take no break. Service is about, our medallion doesn't say God, self, service, and society for nothing. That's the foundation of our recovery, service. And serve wherever you choose to serve. And wherever you fit in, because a lot of people don't like to go to prisons. I love to go to prison because I get out the same day I go in. Thanks for letting me share.
So let's thank Jimmy for coming out when he's sick and Sharon for practicing to be the main speaker. And at this time,